Do the tough things first.
Ray Zinn now imparts his management philosophy in Tough Things First. In this series, Zinn covers it all, from the essence of human happiness,
adding value, showing that you have value,
to the downside of venture capital.
You will not own the company.
And the essence of entrepreneurial discipline. Now here's Ray Zinn, Silicon Valley's longest-serving CEO, and today's guest host.
My name is Paul Moore, and I worked with Ray for 16 years. I started as an engineer and ascended to Technology Research and Development Director. Ray and I developed a great relationship during those years, and I regard those years as some of the best years of my professional career. I believe you will learn as much from Ray's book, Tough Things First, as I learned by working with Ray. Good morning, Ray.
Good morning, Paul. Thanks for being with me today.
Yeah, it's a great time. I love talking to you. Another one of our talks. Hey, speaking of talks, you remember back at My Grill when we had the Friday talk?
Absolutely. Did those every week.
Yeah, I love those. How do you use the Friday talk to reinforce cultural values and keep employees?
Well, let's first thing talk about why we did the Friday talks. First of all, the meeting was called, usually started around 1:30 on a Friday afternoon. We invited members of the operations staff, representatives from different departments within the company to come, and we talked about issues. The reports were given, financial reports, marketing, sales, human resources. All of them had a chance to respond to certain issues of the day, as you were, or the week. Then at the end, which usually lasted that ops meeting usually lasted about an hour. Then we would launch into a Friday talk. And the Friday talk was more of the a motivational type, where we could invite members of my staff or others that attended the meeting to voluntarily prepare a talk to be given at the end of our operations meeting. And I had to review it. I had to agree on the topic and then to offer some suggestions of how they might approach the talk. And so the talk was really to give the individual giving the talk the experience of doing presentations, as well as the audience to help respond and learn from that experience. So there was a multifold purpose for the Friday talks. Number one, to educate the person doing the presentation. Second, to give those there a chance to hear a good talk, a different talk, as you would, or a different style. And then to motivate the employees to do better. And we had that trickle-down effect, which we asked those department heads that were in attendance at the ops meeting to go and then visit with their people and share that with them what they learned at the ops meeting, not just at the talk, but also what the information that was given out during the operations meeting regarding the status of the company. So it was a good experience all the way around. I think it really helped, number one, help retain employees, and number two, help motivate them.
Now, do you ever remember a young engineer named Paul Moore giving a talk?
Yes, I do.
I really looked forward to doing those. What I was surprised, now, for I have to set the stage from my perspective. My perspective was, here's all of these senior managers and little old me, the engineer, coming in and telling them something motivational. So it was really intimidating. My first experience was positive coaching. So I had been coaching at AYSO, and they required that we go to this positive coaching workshop. So I brought some of the things that I learned from positive coaching, because it seemed a natural fit for managing people and treating them with positive reinforcement. So when I was done with that, I'll tell you, that room was so positive and so supportive that I wanted to do them every Friday. I did several, and I didn't want to do them every Friday because I didn't want to show off. But I'll tell you, it was a great experience for me. And, you know, correct me if I'm wrong, but I felt like it was a great way to tell people, maybe if you saw a growing attitude was kind of going south – And you didn't necessarily want to confront an individual, but you wanted to correct the course and get everybody back to the values that you wanted to instill in Micro. Do you see it that way?
Absolutely. I mean, that's why we allowed anyone who wanted to give a talk to give a talk. As I pointed out, I would review it before the talk was given just to make sure it was on topic, and then to offer some suggestions as to how they could do a better job, which gave me an opportunity to work with that individual on a one-on-one basis to just help them as a person to improve their skills. So it was twofold. Number one, it was to help them prepare their talk, and second was for me to get to know them better and to just be of help to them. So that's the way it worked, and that's why we did it the way we did it, is to give different points of view and allow people to express their opinion and feelings as long as it was positive and motivational to the group as a whole.
Now, speaking of helping, I remember one time there was an executive that was kind of reluctant in giving talks. You know, as a leader, one would think that's something that they want to participate in. So you help them by creating an ad hoc on the fly presentation. Do you remember that?
Yes, I do. Well, I don't know if it was because they didn't want to do it or they felt shy or embarrassed to do it. It was voluntary. We don't require anybody to do it, but I did try to show them how you could pick a subject on the fly and develop that topic. That requires a better skill and more skill than if you prepare it. But yes, I do remember saying, give me a subject, let's talk about it. And then it went really well. In fact, one of the better talks that I've done has been ad hoc or just on the fly, as you would.
I know that you would use anecdotes, things that happen in the workplace. For example, you coined an acronym, keep it non-denigrating, kind.
Right.
So that was an entertaining talk for me because you wanted to show people, hey, here, boom, on the fly, I'm going to create a talk. You don't have to make this such a big thing, but it can be something that reinforces your value. So when was the Friday talk first conceived? Was that right when you started Micrel? What happened?
No, it began in late 80s. It started by some of the staff wanting just to have a monthly meeting, just meet once a month and kind of talk about issues as a group, but open it up not just to the staff, but to open it up to anybody that wanted to attend to come and share their status of their particular department or activity. And then it morphed into at the end of the staff meeting that I gave these talks. So I probably gave, maybe 1,000 talks before we even invited anyone else to participate, mainly because so many people were intimidated preparing and giving a talk. So what I found was that by my doing it and just encouraging it, finally, one by one, I got them to start giving these talks. And so over the years, it got to the point where nearly everyone was prepared and willing to give a talk. And so there was great progress there.
So I've seen three generations of Zins give a talk. I saw you give a talk. I saw your son give a talk more than once for David. And I saw your grandson, who worked for me, give a talk. So just to give people an idea of the depth that everybody did participate, it was great. Did you have a favorite talk?
I'm not sure I would call it a favorite talk, but my focus was more on doing the tough things first, which morphed into my book that I wrote when I left Micrel in August 2015. So there's a lot of subtopics that morphed off of the main topic of doing the tough things first. So I always seem to gather those subtopics around doing the tough things first, which helped me with my book.
Do you remember the last talk?
I'm not sure which one you're referring to.
That's James's talk.
Okay.
That was fantastic. So James, it was almost like the three of you gave the last talk. It was a real special day for me to see James give that talk.
Well, for the audience, James is my grandson. So.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm talking to you, so I forget that we're talking to a bunch of people out there. It feels like old times, Ray, like we're talking on the phone.
Thanks for bringing this topic up. I think it is an important topic and one that I think the audience will enjoy because it is different than many companies. In fact, Micrel was different than many companies and unique in many respects, I think, when I look at other companies that are currently out there. And that's what we wanted to be, was to be unique and different. And I think it paid off.
It sure did. Paid off for me. Paid off for me for 16 years of my life. It was a great experience, Ray. I thank you for that. And I thank you for this guest. I hope that I can do a bunch more with you.
Well, Paul, I look forward to it.
Have a great day, Ray.
Thank you.
You've been listening to Tough Things First, candid talk with Silicon Valley's longest-serving CEO, Ray Zinn. Drop by the contact page at toughthingsfirst.com for more about the book, more podcasts, and links to Ray's Twitter, Facebook, and LinkedIn pages to keep up with Ray Zinn's wisdom daily.